So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Want to welcome you to another show. It is September 19th, Les.
Very good, yes. I have a calendar, too. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to make that designation.
Yes.
And if you're not watching Dance with the Stars, we hope you're tuned in with us.
Exactly. On the show tonight, we've got, of course, from his incredible, controversial book, World Wrestling Insanity, James Gutman is going to be on the show tonight.
Yeah, and of course, he does a column in the Torch.
In the PW Torch, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And he also does interviews on his website, and we'll be talking to him later. And Scott Norton, champion arm wrestler, one of three Americans to have held the New Japan title, at least up to, one of three or four anyway. And he's going to be a guest tonight.
He is one of the top gaijins in Japan.
One of the who?
He's one of the top gaijins.
Okay. Where'd you read that at?
One of Mick Foley's books.
Oh, okay.
That's what they call the American wrestlers in Japan.
The gaijins?
Gaijins.
Okay, if you say so.
It means, I think it means foreigner, but anyway.
All right. okay.
See, now, you listen to the show and you learn something.
There you are. See, you're so proficient in everything.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. That's, you agree with that too, right?
That's why you agreed to do the show with me.
Yes, because you are the man.
Also, of course, like we said, like Les said, Scott Norton's going to be here, former NWO member. We're going to be talking to him about his career, and he's got a new project going on, and he's going to tell us all about it.
All right, cool.
Do want to let you guys know in the chat room, the chat server is down, of course,
so
like it usually is. we're trying to get in there. We'll be in there as soon as we can. But for people who went in there before it went down, it works fine for them. So they're just sitting there waiting for us right now.
Well, you know what? If there wasn't a problem on Tuesday night, I think it wasn't Tuesday night.
Oh, this happens every day at some point.
Okay.
It just happened to happen right now.
Isn't it amazing? Modern technology is like a old Model T Ford. It's constantly breaking down.
It sure can be.
Or maybe the Model T was more consistent. I don't know.
In top news tonight, Les, you wanted to talk about the unfortunate death of Robert Gibson's older brother, Ricky.
Yes. A hell of a performer. Ricky Gibson was 53 years old. He passed away last Friday. And I had the pleasure of working with him and actually knowing him since he was 14 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. He was, as a matter of fact, the 1966, winter of 1967, early winter, January, February, I do not remember which, I had gotten a new pair of boots, and we were in a dressing room in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I was talking to Roger Kirby and Dennis Hall, who were my tag team partners at the time, about, you know, the new boots, and I was going to pitch the old ones, and this little 14-year-old boy said to me, he said, he was a member of the ring crew. Can I have those? And I said, yeah, I don't know what you do. But he said, well, I'll fix them and I'll use them. I said, well, okay. You know, so I gave them to him, never crossed my mind again. And we left there a couple months later and worked a couple territories. Anyway, fast forward to 1973, and I'd gone, during the War of Atlanta, I'd gone in to co-host the Georgia Championship Wrestling Show with Gordon Solie. And my first day at TV, this... big young man comes up to me and said, hi, Les, how you doing? And I said, good, how are you? And he said, fine. He said, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at him. He said, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, you should. You gave him my first pair of wrestling boots. And I thought, well, Ricky, you've grown up a little bit since then.
Oh, yeah.
At that time, he was 20 years old and getting a push, but yeah.
Did he still have the boots?
Huh?
Did he still have the boots?
You know, Robert said today he was probably wearing them. I said, I don't think so. But you know what? Yeah, I believe he did still have them, but he had patched them and put new soles on them and kept them. And I have known him since he, and I say he was 53 years old when he passed this past Friday. A tremendous hand. Very good in the ring, good leader, good baby face. Didn't work a lot of territories. Brief stay in California, brief stay Kansas City, brief stay Texas. Predominantly the Nashville-Memphis territory, Mobile. And the last place that we worked extensively together was Knoxville Southeastern Wrestling in the late 70s. And I think the last time I actually had a chance to sit down and talk to Ricky was at the Night of Legends Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which we did in about 94.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in a car wreck in the mid to late 80s, and which messed him up pretty bad, and had been using a cane from that point in time. Obviously, his wrestling career was over. So, but a good guy, tough son of a little son of a gun too. Not a big guy, but a tough little sucker. And you know, he those of us who knew him, you know, we'll miss him. And here again, I said to Dave Meltzer earlier today, here's a performer that. Most of the guys your age wouldn't have a clue who he was, why he was, if he was, and there's probably not much record of him on tape or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But would have, you know, would have been a standout performer today, and the, you know, well, just would have been. That's all. And you know, he's being buried on Friday. They did an autopsy because actually they found the body, and there's in his swimming pool. His wife came home. And saw that he had something on the stove and went looking for him and found him in the floating in the pool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They don't know how he passed?
Well, it wasn't a heart attack, and it was not drowning. The thought is that possibly, you know, he had passed out, you know, and just hyperventilated. I don't know. You know, they had, like I said, did an autopsy.
Yeah.
And they haven't determined yet exactly what happened. But, again, a heck of a gentleman. And like I say, I talked to Robert today. And, you know, he was a good guy, good worker. And especially having known him for so long, you know, I feel like he was part of my era, and I'm certainly going to miss him.
Absolutely. Our condolences go out to the family, of course, of Ricky.
Yes. Two daughters, too, which, gosh, they're growing up now, too. I'm getting old, man. You had on the site the bit about Jim Ross and his comments on TNA.
Yes.
And very briefly, I want to touch on that because I made those same comments myself last week, basically.
Yeah, you did.
Did I not? Yes.
Yeah, you did.
And for those who are biting at Jim's heels for making those comments, first of all, let me say this. Jim Ross, one of the classiest guys in this business. And what he said is true. TNA has taken the wrong path, and a lot of people with a lot of experience in this business now, some of us may have been longer than 15 minutes, may have actually taken a few bumps ourselves, so we might be, have earned the right to an opinion, and Jim would be one of those people. You know, they are, what his comments were, and I couldn't quote them to you, but he made some statement about the polygraph test, which I said last week. I thought making it a cartoon was the wrong approach, especially with the title situation, because you know, if you want me to take your title seriously, then things that are built around it should be taken seriously as well.
Right.
But what Jim said in so many words was that, and he said also that he had said this when he worked for WCW, as you can't out WWE WWE.
Right.
And there's enough there's enough comedy and enough skits. And he said he wanted to see TNA succeed as well because he has friends down there. But the point is, instead of being an alternative, they're just being basically giving the same type of show, only in an hour format. And those being critical of Jim for saying, I mean, he didn't say anything out of line, didn't say anything I could say. Again, somebody with 35 or 40 years in experience in this business that I haven't, and I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to in the last few weeks have made the same comment, only using different words. You know, it's just that Jim did his on his blog, on his website, and then got some, you know, negative feedback from it. But he got some positive, too, if you go on there and read.
Yeah.
You know, now TNA is going to make a big, well, you know, and they dropped to a .07 this past Thursday night in their ratings.
Yeah, that's not good. It was, I believe it was 0.7 the week before, actually,
was
too.
It? Okay. I was saying it was an 0.8. Anyway, that's, you know, down. They were doing like ones, white 1.1 and that sort of thing. But anyway, you know, it's now apparently Dixie Carter has made a press release that there's going to be a big announcement at the upcoming pay-per-view. And, of course, speculation runs from everything that they're closing their doors to they're getting 2 hours in prime time. And I honestly don't know what's going to happen there, and I don't think anybody except those within the company do either. But it could be a Goldberg signing, although I just don't see that. You know, chances are they're going to get 2 hours. Although, from what I hear from other sources, that the network itself is in a bit of trouble because this dropped from number 8 to number 18,
mm-hmm.
you know, because CSI was one of the shows, the reruns of CSI was carrying the network, and those have kind of run their course, and they're being, you know, you can only regurgitate the same number of shows over and over again, and when you're running them every night, you know, I mean, if you realize CSI was, you know, in prime time on the networks, one of the big three, it's a once-a-week show, and they were running it at least once a night.
Right.
You know, so they quickly run through the cycle. So anyway, I don't know what it's going to be, but like Jim Ross, you know, I've got friends in TNA, and you've heard me say this before, I don't have an axe to grind with anybody. I'm not on anybody's payroll except yours.
Right.
And I also am passing out tin cups on the street corners because of being on your payroll. But anyway, that's...
They're saying in the chat room you're not going to be invited to announce for TNA after this.
Huh?
They're saying in the chat room you're not going to be invited to announce for TNA anymore.
I doubt that I was going to be invited to announce for TNA anyway. But
the way...
Well, you know, if telling the truth makes you a jerk, then I'm a jerk. You know, that's true. You know,
the
they have
with...
a chance. They have... Now... To give you a parallel, you and I were talking before we went on the air. Ring of Honor had a hot show Saturday night in New York. I'm proud to say Nigel McGuinness, one of my trainees, was part of the big two matches along with Brian Danielson and Marufuji and Kenta from NOAH.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told the matches were four to five stars, if that's the way you rate them. And those guys ran a classy show, a hot show. And they gave you wrestling. And what TNA, I think, has the opportunity and the athletes to do is give you, you know, Ring of Honor selling their product to 500, 600, 700, well, 1,200 people sometimes. Either, I guess that's what was there, 1,200 to 1,400 on Saturday night in New York. But they have a pay-per-view audience. They have a major television audience. They have an opportunity, and like I say, a lot of good young athletes that could perform a different style. And yet, you know, they're going to the comedy and a lot of skits and, you know, a lot of flash and not a lot of substance, honestly.
Yeah. I think what the problem is that, you know, TNA has to answer to Spike TV. Spike TV, they're...
And you want to know what? That's not a good thing.
No.
And I think I made that comment when they became partners. You know, it's like... you go on to Kevin Dunn and say, well, listen, I watch television, so Kevin, here's 50 cents. I'm investing in the production of Raw. Now you're going to let me pull the switches and call the shots.
Right.
And Kevin's going to say, no, I don't think so.
Right.
Because you watch TV doesn't mean you, you know, and that's the whole point. Yes, Spike has put some money in the pot to help pay Sting, and among other things, and I'm not sure what else may have been involved in. So they want to have some say-so, and
they have two different goals that they want to reach.
Well, I think you can't lay this all on Spike either. It's just, you know, politics within the company to a certain degree. And, you know, again...
Well, I can see TNA saying, or I can see Spike TV saying, well, you know, WWE gets this much ratings, why can't you do that?
Well...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, but that's... You know, again, I always say, you know, let the painters paint and the electricians wire the house.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're sure the house could be wired right and painted properly.
Yeah. Spike TV, stay out of the way. Let them grow.
Well, it ain't going to happen, but that's, you know. But, yeah, no, I just, you know, and here's the other thing, too. Let's compare. Let's say, for example, that, and I don't remember, it's been too many years ago, but when the AFL Football League started in opposition to the NFL, the NFL was more of a 3 yards in a cloud of dust at that time, the running backs and everything. Now, if you remember, the AFL opened up the passing game, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why?
It's different.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so that's why I use that as an example. That's mm-hmm. the exact same thing that I would see going on here. If you and I were opening a wrestling company, I would want to do something that everybody else isn't doing.
Right.
You know, so it comes down to being that simple. But again, God, there's no reason to knock JR. Like I say, he's one of the classiest guys in the business. And honestly, like he said himself, he wants to see everybody succeed. He's got friends over there. And it was his opinion. And I think after his years of doing what he's done and doing it so admirably, he's got a right to that opinion, and probably more so than half the people that knocked him.
I agree totally.
Thank you.
Moving on, your buddy New Jack was booked for last Wednesday's Pro Wrestling Explosions debut show at the former ECW Arena. But he was pulled from the show following an incident. According to reports, New Jack had been drinking and then ordered a Sprite at the concession stand. When New Jack was given a 7-Up, he started yelling at the woman who worked at the stand. A guy working on the ring crew walked up, knowing the girl, and stood up to New Jack. New Jack ended up punching him, which then brought out Ronnie Long, the head of Atlas Security, and the man who was promoting the show. Supposedly, the guy that New Jack punched was a relative of Ronnie Long. So now there's an altercation between New Jack and the promoter, and they had to be separated. Police were called out. And at one point, New Jack locked himself into a room. He was eventually taken away by police but was not arrested, as the ring crew guy decided not to press charges. But, you know, following this, it doesn't seem like New Jack's going to be invited or, you know, booked for any
coming out parties with any of high society.
PWX. Well, at least PWX.
Well, you know what? I'm not a 7-Up or a Sprite drinker, but my wife's a Sprite drinker, and I know she becomes enraged when they have mist. Some kind of mist or 7-Up instead of Sprite, so there must be something addictive to Sprite.
There were so many rumors regarding this. One was that he wanted a bottle of water, and they tried to charge him for it. And that's why he got mad. But the report that's coming out the most is the Sprite 7-Up incident.
Okay. Yeah. So. I have no earthly idea why that would have happened, except it's just New Jack.
Yeah.
You know.
That's disrespectful. New Jack, and I mean, to give somebody a 7-Up when they order a Sprite. That's
well, exactly. And I know you wouldn't do anything.
And
like
New Jack don't take disrespect. But moving on, Greg Gagne was dropped by WWE last Tuesday from his duties as OVW developmental booker.
Well, you know, I tell you the truth, I heard some frustrations from some of the guys down there, as coincidentally enough, and that's exactly what it was, probably a week before that happened. One of the young guys that's down there was telling me the frustration with Gagne because he's not attuned to current, you know, and they should have known that too. And I'm not that familiar with Greg. I mean, I obviously know his track record. I've met him, never worked with him. But I know that when he was given the job as road agent or whatever the title or producer, now they're calling him road agents or something. But they weren't, you know, I'm thinking, well, he hasn't been in the business for a long time.
Right.
So he hasn't really been, he's not attuned to what the product is. And I guess they discovered that too.
Yeah, and the Wrestling Observer reports that that's basically the feeling, is that his knowledge of the old system was out of touch with today.
Well, you know, again, there's a lot of good things to be said about the old system. There's a lot of good things that can carry over. But, again, one of the things that we've always tried to teach in our training camps and seminars is a middle ground of some of the high-risk, high-energy stuff of the current product and a blend with good psychology and mat-based stuff from the days gone by. So, but anyway, yeah, I'm not sure who at this point will end up booking down there. But one of my guys is currently the OVW champion, Chet the Jet Jablonski.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chet the Jet. He was on He was pretty high up there in the PWI 500 that came out last week.
Well, you know what? The funny thing about it, Chet and a guy who's wrestling, back wrestling in HWA now, Pepper Parks, came to me out of their high school graduation. They were both 18 years old. And Neil and Jesse started with me. And they were the nucleus, along with a manager by the name of Brock Guffman, of a team we tagged the A-Squad. And here's the funny thing about the A-Squad. Chet is under contract down there. The guy that I made his brother, Dean Visk, who we called Dean Jablonski, was also a member of the A-Squad, was down in OVW until he was cut a few months back. Derek Nykirk, who is working house shows for ECW and currently under contract to WWE and down in Deep South, was also started with me and was a member of the A-Squad. B.J. Whitmer from Ring of Honor was a member of the A-Squad. So out of that whole crew of A-Squad members up until the point where they were disbanded and I sold the company, all except Pepper, who actually stepped away from the business about 3.5 years ago to go help his dad with they have a mom and pop business in Buffalo, who just came back. And he was good enough, I think, that probably he would have had a contract at this point because he, Chad Collier, my Matt Stryker and Shark Boy probably had match of the show at the last pill when we promoted in 2001. And Pepper was Pepper worked a Super 8 for Jim Kentner as well. So anyway, all those guys out of that A-Squad contingent have done well for themselves.
Oh, yeah, and long futures ahead of them still,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I hope so.
The most likely candidate, of course, that we were talking about earlier, to book for OVW, they're saying is Mike Bucci.
Yeah. Well, and of course, he helped Cornette some down there.
Yeah, who is Simon Dean.
Yeah, and he's also, or Nova, any other personas he may or may not have had. When he was under contract in OVW, he helped Jimmy and... Of course, he's in talent relations now, replacing Tommy Dreamer, and so yeah, that's a very strong pot. I don't know. I don't know if Mike still lives down there or whether he's moved to Stanford. I'm not sure.
I think he's in Stanford because last I heard, he was doing something for them in the office.
Well, yeah, he's probably, well. That's true because that's basically the job that Dr. Tom had, and so he probably has moved up there if he hadn't already.
Yeah. Chris Canyon, who many have labeled as becoming very desperate for attention lately, was on an internet radio show in Canada recently where he claimed Bret Hart admitted to him that the Montreal Survivor Series incident in 1997 was a work and that he was involved in orchestrating the whole thing.
I just want some of whatever Chris is smoking. so I can get that kind of a buzz.
Canyon had said that Bret told him this in WCW. Now, when I first read this, I didn't believe that Canyon would even say something like that. But Canyon admits he did say it. There's a link on Canyon's MySpace site that links to the episode of the radio show. And it basically just said here all the comments that I made on this show, but with no explanation. So I don't know.
Well,
I don't
know
what's up with Canyon lately. But
the last time we talked about Chris, I commented when he was on with us, he was very articulate, very intelligent.
Yeah,
it made sense. There was nothing outlandish, goofy, crazy, or anything else about him. So I don't know what's. I don't know what's gotten hold of him, but, I need attention, too, but I don't think I'm good about it.
Canyon has admitted in the past, and even on our program, that he suffers from major bouts of depression.
So do I.
And what do you call it? Where you're high and then you're down.
Bipolar.
Yes, and this might be an indication. I'm not a psychiatrist or anything like that, but am I going to believe that the screw job was a work?
I don't know what you're going to believe. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so
either.
First
of all, I wouldn't say Brett didn't say it, but I'd say if he did say it, I would think it was in jest, sarcasm or sarcastic humor or something along those lines, because I don't believe Brett himself, is a believer of that.
Right.
Or if he was, he's the greatest worker of all time.
Exactly. That would be the greatest work in the history of wrestling.
Yeah,
if it were
I would
true.
Think so. And they're still selling it, as a matter of fact. So
yes, WWE.com has an article up today noting that the WWE Women's title was declared vacant at Raw last night. Due to Trish Stratus' retirement. Maybe, you know, they should have put that on TV?
I don't know. Maybe.
But, so that's going to be...
That's something we got to touch on before the night's over, too.
Oh, definitely. We will go ahead and review the pay-per-view and...
I know I didn't do well.
Later on in the show and see who won, which I don't know who won because I didn't even bother looking. But we'll find out together who won the pay-per-view prediction game from last week.
Okay.
And then we have another one to play later.
All right.
Because there is a TNA pay-per-view this weekend.
Yes.
In more news, WWE made many hires this week. Henry Godwin was hired. No word on what he's going to be doing yet. But for the rest, Rodney Mack, Marty Jannetty, and Brad Armstrong have been chosen to work with WWE over the next several months, helping the younger guys get into shape, get some experience.
Well, you know what? I think that's a very intelligent hire. And if they never work TV, if they never do anything but work the house shows and give the younger guys somebody to put 15, 20 minutes in with on the road, it's going to help all those young guys, especially with Brad and Marty and Red Dog to a certain degree. That's Rodney Mack.
Yeah.
And Henry's a good guy, but I I'm sure he knows the business. Most people wouldn't say he's a great technician in the ring, and I would be one of those people, but that doesn't mean he's not, you know, knowledgeable about what the business is or what it takes to be an accomplished performer.
Right. I don't know if Henry Godwin's going to be part of that, but...
But I've heard that that's why these guys are hired, too, is more to work house shows and get the green guys, the inexperienced guys, some time with veterans. Mm-hmm.
But they did bring back Hacksaw not too long ago, so yeah. We might see Henry at least on TV.
Yeah.
WWE did indicate that... they may have an opportunity to join full-time.
Yeah.
So that's good news for them, and it's a nice little paycheck, and they can teach some of the younger guys, you know, especially Brad, you know.
Yeah, well, Marty, whoever it was he worked with on that one television stint, it was a heck of a match, and then he got signed, then he had some problems with his pro officer or some nonsense, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And... But anyway, yeah, I think it's a good business move. It's going to teach the young guys.
And it should be noted that Brad Armstrong's brother Scott is already working with.
Yes, he's refereeing for ECW.
Yes, he was hired last month. So.
Which I won't get to see tonight because my DVR will only tape two shows at one time, and since the premiere of Law and Order Special Victims is on at the same time, Boston Legal.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, hey, I have a life.
Yes, you remind me so much of my dad every day.
Or I'm trying to
or
have
something
a life.
New. Because my father is the same way. He loves those shows.
I like the irreverent. I can't even talk irreverent humor of Boston Legal.
Yes.
And my wife and I are just big Law and Order fans. All their shows.
I've seen a couple of Boston Legals. That's a pretty good show. The Rock's new movie, Gridiron Gang, took in an estimated $15 million this opening weekend to place number one in the country. This was the 10th movie for Sony, the film's distributor, to place number one at the box office this year. That's an industry record.
I mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago that probably Keebler and Jericho were the best representatives for our business. And I have to say Rock is, too, because whether he's divorced himself from us, the general public and the media haven't divorced him from us.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still the connection. The sad thing is, and again, you can all knock me for saying this, but all three of these people come across very articulate, very classy, very professional, and then if they actually tempt some non-wrestling fan to turn on a show, we can't live up to the hype. And that's sad, too.
Yeah.
Because we don't show the same... the business come too much camp, too much slapstick, you know, sophomoric humor, and I'm just, you know, again, I don't mind a little bit of that, but I just, and it's sad because with all this mainstream, with Rock and Jericho and Keebler, and I saw her in a commercial with George Hamilton for,
yes,
yeah, so, but you know, that, like I say, people still identify her with WWE.
Yeah, and like The Rock, they probably always will.
Yeah, I think so.
It'll always be, that's the
because
one I used to wrestle.
Even though he's calling himself now Dwayne Johnson, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, every place I see it in the paper, that's the way it's usually written.
Yeah. like we said, this isn't only a good year for Sony and their films, but this is The Rock's fifth movie to open at number one.
Yeah.
And people wonder why he doesn't want to wrestle no more.
And you know, he and Danny, his wife, donated $2 million to the University of Miami.
Excellent.
For construction of what they call is the Rock and Danny, or Danny and Dwayne's living room or something like that. Something to do, you know, with the housing there. But, yeah, that's tremendous.
Yeah. In some interviews promoting the movie, Dwayne Johnson has...
I'll name my living room after him if he'll donate $2 million.
Exactly. I'll name the whole house after him. I'll have a big picture of his face.
I'll paint it out on the front of the house, put it in flashing lights.
And, you know, have him do the eyebrow and put an outline of his whole head on the front of the house. Yeah, if he wants to give me $2 million. But he said that he intends on dropping the Rock nickname with the release of his next movie called Southland Tales.
Well, I say that's, you know, I think people will identify with it still past that, which is neither here nor there. Everybody knows who he is. So.
Yeah, it will always be mentioned, I believe. As many people do know, if you don't, there was a recent school shooting in Montreal last month. At Dawson College in Montreal, where a man shot 20 people and killed one of them.
And he was a wrestling fan.
He was a wrestling fan, unfortunately.
Which means exactly what? When I say that, it's not because I'm in the wrestling business, but I often wondered because so-and-so killed five people and he listened to Motley Crue.
Right.
What is the correlation?
But you get that, and especially wrestling gets that.
I know, and I'm waiting
for the backlash.
You know, well, my problem with that is, as a young boy, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever, I was a Gene Autry, Roy Rogers freak, and nobody, you know, for you young people, they were cowboys, man, and they killed at least 10 people in every show, right?
Yeah.
And I played cowboys, but I never thought about getting a real gun and going out and killing anybody.
Yeah. We did. I think we covered this extensively a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
When the report came out, the little survey study or whatever they had, we covered that extensively. And basically the bottom line that we agreed on was that these people might have liked wrestling, but they had a problem to begin with.
Yeah.
And somebody like, you know, you can watch wrestling. I've watched wrestling my whole life, but I've never hit a girl. I've never turned heel and hit my friend with a chair.
Well, it's like the kid that was involved in that killing in Florida, and his defense attorney tried to use wrestling as an out. That means if you watch the Hannibal Lecter movies and you go out and cut somebody up, well, I think you're predestined mentally to do that anyway.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, if you're going to be a crook, you're going to be a crook. I don't think it's because you saw a movie or watched a particular rock band or something. You know, I remember when Little Richard first came out with Tutti Frutti, and I heard Ray Charles the Midnighters and the Drifters and the Coasters, we were all going to hell, you know, because that was the devil's music. And then when it became the Rolling Stones, that was the devil's music. The devil's got a lot of different music.
Definitely Kiss, though.
Yeah.
Knights in Satan's Service.
Yeah.
Remember that?
And, of course, now with some, ass ponies, I think they may be the devil's worship.
It's
I don't
possible.
Know anybody with a goofy name like that. It's got to be something.
Two female fans were removed from the building during Sunday's Unforgiven pay-per-view for allegedly spitting on John Cena during the WWE Championship match.
Yeah, I was reading about that yesterday and today. And, of course, a lot of people, witnesses, said that didn't happen.
Yeah, most people who saw it reported they did not see from the camera's vantage point those two women spitting on Cena. They were yelling things at him, and they were very upset, but nobody really saw him spitting. But the referee, you could see the referee going up to them and saying something. Supposedly what he said to them was to stop spitting on him. And,
you know what, though? Let me say, over 46 years in this business, it wouldn't be the first time that a security crew got overzealous.
Right.
And made a move that probably they shouldn't have, if that's the case. And like I say, enough people, whether they're just standing up for these two ladies or what, I'm not sure. But, you know, that's the other thing, too. I think in trying to control what kind of signs you bring in, how you do or do not yell at a particular wrestler is insane. I mean, that's you got to find something better to do with your time. You honestly do.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I think that's a good wrestler. I think if you go out to the ring and elicit everyone to boo you, then that's what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of that, of which, I thought Cena and Edge opened the show last night, Raw, with a very strong promo for both of them. And I was into it. The six-man tag had a lot of energy. The six-pack challenge was horrible with a good finish. You know, there's more wrestling on the show last night, I thought, more energy in the show than in recent weeks, and I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, and the opening promo with Edge and Cena, in my opinion, did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Within, like Cena said, within 30 seconds, they went from cheering a hometown Edge to booing him and cheering Cena.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good for one promo.
I can't help myself. I'm a sarcastic sucker anyway, but I was sitting here watching last night, and I thought, you know, WWE has a dress code. What's it cost those two guys?
What?
Well, you know, they do have a dress code.
Yeah.
Right? And I was looking at the way Cena was costumed and the way Edge was costumed, and they both were in street clothes.
Yeah.
Either one was wearing wrestling gear. Well, Cena's street gear is his wrestling gear. But I'm thinking, what's the fine element here?
Well, casual fans don't know there's a dress code.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Okay.
That's something for internet
people. Somebody
will
say, well, that's their gimmick. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
You know, Mick Foley dressing like a homeless person is always his gimmick.
Yes. Yes, very
but
true.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That just crossed my mind last night.
TNA knockout Christy Hemme recently underwent hernia surgery, and she's going to be missing some ring training for about six weeks.
Was that she was lifting Jeremy Borash?
I think so. I think they went out one night, and they had a little bit too much, and she had to carry Jeremy home.
All right.
But that's just rumor, guys, you know. I cannot.
In fact, it's in jest, guys.
Yeah.
There's no truth to it. There's no even a rumor. It's something we just started here about 30 seconds ago.
But Hemme is still going to appear on TNA at the pay-per-view and the TV tapings, okay. And we'll resume her in-ring training as soon as she gets better.
Okay.
So get better, Christy. I love you.
I got you.
The server.
Well, she's a female. She has two breasts and two legs and two arms and a head. And I'm so you love her.
Come on. She calls me Docky.
Huh?
She calls me Docky. What can I say?
Docky. Okay,
yes.
Docky. Well, I won't call you that, okay?
Please don't. The server that hosts TNA's website at TNAWrestling.com was reportedly a victim of a hacking attempt on Wednesday. The website's now fine and was back and up and running the next day.
Why did you do that?
Why did I do what?
Trying to get all the pictures of Tracy Brooks and Trissy Hemming, right?
I wanted to see if they had some hernia surgery pictures up there with old Christy, but no.
Is that really news? I mean, don't kids hack all the time? I mean, try to hack all the time?
Yeah, but this happened to be a wrestling site. So.
Oh, okay. I got you.
An official one, too. So.
Okay. All right. Are we going to get an update on the Doc Young promotional masterpiece of the year?
Hopefully, yes. I'll get to that in a minute. I got a couple more TNA little tidbits for you guys.
Okay.
Lance Hoyt is going to return to TNA at the No Surrender pay-per-view next week. I don't think that's the big announcement that they were planning on making. But
you don't think so?
No. But Hoyt's going to be teaming with Ron the Truth Killings in a triple chance tag team battle royal.
So. Oh, thank God. I can't wait. They haven't done a multiple match since when? Last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
Since
hell, I missed those.
Yeah.
There's been 7 days in between. It's God forbid that you might do something different. I wouldn't want that to happen.
And also, A1 was he wasn't at the last set of TV tapings for TNA due to food poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
So Cracker Barrel doesn't, they don't make food.
Now
like
there it. You go. You're going to have lawyers beating your door down from Cracker Barrel.
Okay.
For slander or something.
Denny's don't make it like they used to.
I guess. Earl Hebner's working again, though, and that's the key factor in this all, that he and Slick Johnson are two of the featured referees of the century.
Right.
Yeah, okay. The check's in the mail, and I'll respect you in the morning, among other bullshit.
Now I got to go back and edit that.
I know. Well, I don't know how to say BS. But I'm saying BS.
BS.
It's not as effective when you say it that way.
So, on October 7th, WrestlingWeekly.com is going to present Frontier Elite Wrestling in Vincennes, Indiana.
The home of Doc Young.
The home of Doc Young.
No, actually not going to be at his house, though.
No.
His family's put their foot down there.
It will actually be in a building.
Yes.
That will be paid for by Les.
Yeah, right. Yes, it will. Uh-huh.
He is donating plenty of money to this.
Yeah.
Rosie is
Don't
going...
Don't tell my wife.
Rosie is going to be in attendance. We've also signed Romeo Roselli from the Heartthrobs.
Uh-huh.
He is going to be there. We've got plenty of good local guys, Indiana Midwest guys coming down. Bryce Benjamin from AAW is going to be there. We've got Egotistical Fantastico. He's going to be there. And,
who's that?
Chicago fans know him as Robert Ego Anthony.
Okay.
Who actually, he's pretty happy these days because he came in 495th in the PWI.
I haven't seen the PWI 500 this year.
He came in 495.
I had a couple of years back when I was still at the company, we had 25, 30 guys on that list.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And now some of them were like guys like Val Venus, but I mean guys who were on our roster,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout the year. Okay, go ahead.
Bobo Brazil Jr. is going to be in the house too. So you guys, if you want to check out the card or what's going on, you can of course go to totalwrestling.net and check out the forums, or myspace.com/docyoung has all the details in my little blog on exactly how I'm putting together this show,
with all the pictures of the little girls who write cute little things on Doc's MySpace.
Oh, you've been checking out my MySpace.
Well, right? Yes. I mean, I'm still a high schooler at heart.
What can I say? Cute little girls like me.
Okay.
But I don't like them unless they're 18 or over. But anyway, I just had to put in that disclaimer.
Okay.
But yeah, check out the show. And also, like I said, leave your feedback at totalwrestling.net in the forums. And if we get enough... you know, interest, we may make a two-set DVD, one for the show and one a documentary-style type.
A documentary of what?
Of the
of
days
your
events,
life?
Putting of oh. How you put together the show, what goes on backstage, and afterwards.
All right.
You can have exclusive footage of the ring crew cleaning up after the show.
There's something I've always wanted. Can I place my order now for half a dozen?
Unless you're making this whole idea sound stupid.
Well, I'd try to make it make sense if it made sense.
I think people would be interested in seeing how a show would be put together.
Okay.
You don't think so?
You know what? I think I could name you at least 25 independent promoters that probably need to see a DVD of how honestly a show is put together. But they wouldn't watch because they're already experts. But anyway, go
this
ahead.
This could be helping out the business.
Move on. We might say at this point, too, that next week we have Steve Carino as our guest, right?
The King of Hardcore.
Okay.
Yes,
I thought it was the king of old school.
I'm sorry, the king of old school.
Make up your mind.
Steve Carino is going to be on the show. Yes, that's awesome. But coming up next, we've got, of course, from World Wrestling Insanity and JG's Radio Free Insanity radio show, James Gutman is going to be on the program. Later on, of course, we've got Scott Norton, former NWO member. Stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Steve right after this, guys.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Right now on the line, the author of World Wrestling Insanity and the host of JG's Radio Free Insanity, James Gutman, is with us. James, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
I want to thank you guys for having me. It's good to be here.
You know, James, my first question is, how could you possibly tie the word insanity in with professional wrestling?
it's a weird fit, right?
yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't think they would go together, especially the Gene Snitsky's of the world. I mean, it's hard to think insanity and the McMahon family. How does that work? It's weird.
You know, we were talking. I mentioned to Doc earlier tonight that, and I'd like to hear your comments on it too, is I said, over the last year, Stacey Keibler, Chris Jericho, even if it were only one night on the celebrity duets, and Rock have been the greatest PR people for professional wrestling. Sadly enough, if those any one of or all three of those people have enticed some non-fan to tune wrestling in, we couldn't live up to the hype because all three of them come across as articulate, professional, and very classy.
Absolutely. It's sad because I think that when wrestling is really popular, it's kind of like you watch a show and you say, my God, I got to show my friends that. I have to, hey, man, look what this guy did on Monday. Look what this happened. And nowadays I watch it, and sometimes I think to myself, God, I hope no one I know is watching this right now.
Exactly. My wife and I went out with a friend of mine who I grew up with, for God's sake. We've been friends since like age 13 or 14, and he's not a fan, but this was back a few months, and he said, I was channel surfing the other night, and he said, couldn't believe it. I said, what? He said, I stopped on wrestling, and Vince McMahon had his pants down and had somebody kissing his ass. What was that about? And I thought, how do I explain that to somebody that doesn't watch wrestling?
I was just about to ask you that, Les. I was going to say, if you were ever like in a store or something and this lady came up to you who knew who you were but didn't, you know, watch wrestling, she'd be like, you know, why is wrestling so stupid? And then look at you like it's your fault.
I ask the same question on a weekly basis, and I don't have an answer, quite frankly.
I know, but it's like you're supposed to explain to them why, you know, like it's your fault.
Well,
have you ever had that?
Yes. More often than I care to remember, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your book. I have not had the chance to read it. Is it mostly parody or historical or what exactly?
Well, no, it's actually, the idea behind it was I wanted to get a lot of the stories from kind of behind the walls of WWE. So there's a lot of things that you would find out if you were an employee there. Like I have the, within the book, for example, we have listed the words that they tell announcers are not allowed to say on the air.
Right.
Things about some of the newsletters that they send, you know, to the company people. Like if you work in the office, things that you're told, things that you find out about how the company works. There's actually one part in there that I think kind of encompasses a lot. It's the kind of the behind-the-scenes story of what the production people were told before ECW One Night Stand, the first one, and how Vince had this desire to get the DVD out before Shane Douglas did, which I found hilarious because, you know, here he is recreating ECW because he has no competition for his show, so he has to create fake competition in order to generate interest, and his first order of business is to squash any competition, even though it's from a guy who doesn't even have a TV deal. But within it, too, I mean, there's parody. I think that with WWE, a lot of times when I try to explain, as you guys were saying before, trying to explain to somebody who doesn't watch wrestling exactly what it is, sometimes you almost have to give ridiculous examples and just to show how silly it gets. And people don't. So to me, that's where the humor kind of comes in. I think the insanity ties into it. The book is really written for somebody who is, you know, people who are familiar with WWE and who read the internet, they'll learn things from the book, but also people who have never watched it before can kind of pick up the book and kind of get a sense of what we've been living with for the last, 10 years or so.
What we've kind of gone in the closet with, right?
We just accepted it, bite the bullet and move on.
You know, you were mentioning the things that the announcers got. It's like wrestling. You can't say wrestling on a wrestling show, God forbid.
Exactly.
Or belt or strap.
Yep.
Because it might, how can it possibly, make people think back when they're 20 years old?
Yeah.
How far back can they think?
Oh, totally. Well, I mean, it's funny, too, because I think within that sheet that I was just talking about, with what people are told not to say, there's actually two examples of lines that announcers should use to get characters over. And both of those lines are lines that Michael Cole has repeated verbatim numerous times. There was one, it was The Undertaker won't be stopped. I forgot the exact wording of it, but it was something to the effect of The Undertaker is resilient and won't be stopped at any cost, or something that I've heard him say over and over. And when I read it on the sheet, I said, see, I've heard that before. Where have I heard that? And then I think he said it like 2 weeks later, and I said, oh, my God. I said, you know, they don't even, at this point, it's just whatever they're told, they just go with. And you have really no vested interest in the company's success. The success for these guys is just to keep their jobs, so they just go along with what Willy Wonka says to
do. You know, I think that's the sad state of affairs, that there are so many brilliant minds that have to just go along with the corporate line.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you look at the guys, Steamboat, the DiBiase, Malenko, Arn Anderson, Tim Horner now, Steve Kern. There must be 10 million finishes. And instead, we'll do, everybody will do a run-in, or outside interference, or like the, was it SummerSlam, where they had seven matches and four girls interfered in four of the seven matches.
Yeah. What about Monday night? There was the first match and the last match had the exact same ending, with the deliberate chair shot disqualification.
Yeah.
And I said, how could you not think, I mean, even if you wanted to have two disqualifications, you had to have the exact same ending to it. It just seems like, not only laziness, but WWE makes a point of letting people know that this company belongs to the family, and it doesn't really necessarily belong to them. So the people don't really want to put their necks out there. They just want to keep their jobs.
Yeah, and like you say, there's no real attempt to win new fans. I mean, that's the sad thing. It's just like, hey, we're enjoying ourselves and doing what we have fun with. It's kind of just self kind of like playing with yourself. I don't know how else to say it.
That's exactly right.
Tonight on Wrestling Weekly, Vince McMahon plays with himself. Whoever's
taking this down to put it out on the websites, please don't post that.
You're giving away. I think that's going to be the angle that leads into WrestleMania next year too. They're going to be like, I want to thank Wrestling Weekly for the play with yourself angle idea for Vince.
You know that, I mean, that's true. You know, and people said, well, what would you do if you were a billionaire and owned the company? I said, I'm stupid enough to love my business and care. You know, I've been doing this over 46 years, and I came to the table realizing that even back in 1960 when I started in the business, that a lot of people looked down their nose at professional wrestling and took it as camp or lowbrow comedy or you know, whatever you want to call it, burlesque, and that, to me, as a performer, as a commentator, or whatever my particular job description was at the time, I thought was to elevate their opinions, not solidify them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this has become, I don't even necessarily know if it's being out of touch, because I think it would be great to think to ourselves that, like, Vince McMahon is purposely doing this and purposely doesn't want to reach out. But I think a part of me is really frightened that they're just really stuck in this time bubble and don't understand how society has moved on. They're still promoting in a way that's very late 90s, in that they're trying to shock people and they're trying to shock fans into watching, like they used to do in the Jerry Springer generation and the Y2K generation, and everybody afraid the world was going to end. Nowadays, people are watching 24 and Lost and intelligent shows that have real stories and real character development, and WWE is still putting on this South Park style 1997 show that, you know, crime time and let's see how much we could frighten people. And in the end, all it's really doing is not really drawing anybody new in and embarrassing the people who've been sticking around this long.
Yeah. Well, you know, you brought up The Undertaker a while ago, and I'm amazed, because I'm about, as Doc will tell you, I drive him nuts with splitting hairs about logic.
Yeah.
Because to me, again, I still believe that you can suspend people's disbelief if you work at it. And it's not the easy road to take. I'll be the first to say that. But I'm amazed that the King and JR still get all cranked out of shape after 12 years of watching The Undertaker appear.
Yeah.
I think at some point they should say, oh, hey, it's The Undertaker again.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. He's back.
Yeah. And no dissing crime time on this show.
Well, you know what? It comes back. I've made this analogy before too. You know, it's like with the whole cleavage diva TNA thing. I think any self-respecting 13-year-old boy with his hormones going sky high, if he's watched the show for a year, realize he's not going to see any bare skin.
Right.
Exactly. Well, I mean, also, too, I mean, just saying before about society moving on, I mean, it's 2006, is the Internet generation. I think most kids have ready access to much more, you know, salacious things than women in bikinis, you know, for 15 minutes. I mean, how long do you really need to put it out there for?
Yeah.
Some of these strip shows, it's like, you know, they're not naked,
yeah,
UPN.
Exactly. Well, you know, and the thing, you know, you mentioned Lost and these more sophisticated shows. And here's something else. When we run, when Dr. Tom and I try to run training camp, something that I try to portray, I said, you know, you look at the top dramas on television today, if you break them down, take away the modern cars, the modern clothing, language, architecture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it goes right back to one thing. It's still the same basic drama that it was in 1940.
Yeah.
And I still believe that with modern hooks and twists, that what we did 46 years ago still works. It's just that, it again, it's not the low road. It's not the easy way.
Yeah. So tell us about the experiences you had writing the book. You talked to a bunch of stars, mm-hmm. of course, and I guess basically they agreed with what you put in your book?
Well, yeah. I mean, within the book, what I wanted to do was I got 11 people, just very different personalities in the business. I wanted them kind of from, young guys to guys who've been there a while. Like Charlie Haas is in the book, Terry Funk, and then there's, Missy Hyatt, who's like on this level over here, and then Amy Weber, who no one had spoken to in a while. So I wanted just this long spectrum of different people, Kamala and D'Lo Brown. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to kind of just tell the story that I wanted to tell as far as my point of view on things and just put their quotes throughout the book. And sometimes they agree with me, sometimes they don't, but it just gives you a different perspective. I was always very interested. Whenever I interview people, even on the website and things like that, I'm never really too into finding out the dirt on things. I'm not really too into gossip and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm very intrigued by what a lot of people in today's business or have been in the business think about just the industry as a whole, what they think works, what they think doesn't, because if there's any people who know how to analyze the industry, it's people who work in it because, it's their job. Everybody always knows the most about their own job or thinks they know the most about their own job. So I was always very intrigued by their thoughts on that. So there's a lot of quotes in the book about what works in wrestling, what people have liked, and, what they think about the business and where it's going.
Let me take you and ask you a question in a similar vein. We were discussing JR's comment about the polygraph thing on his blog on the barbecue site and how some people jumped on him about that. And I said, I totally agree, and probably any of us that actually have earned it, the right to an opinion, has spent more than 15 seconds in the business, would agree that TNA's path they're taking is not the path to an alternative. It's just it's almost trying to be the same.
What's sad? I mean, I think TNA is at the point, and I can't figure it out because at this particular point in wrestling history, WWE is ready for somebody to really come up and challenge them. And I feel like every time WWE takes a step back, TNA is like, oh, we'll take two steps back. And they just try to, they're trying to keep behind WWE.
Yeah.
And, all you really need is just no politics. I mean, it sounds so easy to say, but really, if we want to make the most money in a company, especially like TNA, that is number two distant, you got to throw the politics out the window and say, you know what, let me sacrifice some things now so that I get more money in the long run. We tend to look right in front of us. I mean, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and I don't think TNA sees it that way.
Yeah. I said to Doc, I said, honestly, TNA is in a position and have the athletes to give a larger section of America exactly what Gabe Sapolsky's given him, Ring of Honor, and they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that is the alternative.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different directions they can go with it. Even if you want to try to do a sports entertainment style show, which for the life of me I can't figure out why they would want to, considering that there's already three shows from WWE a week and it's not even doing well. Even if you want to do it, it's just so many of the things that they're presenting. It just seems like, a lower rent version of WWE. I mean, there really has to be a better alternative than what they've been putting out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, have you had any feedback or backlash from people in the industry over any part of this book?
No, nothing bad, which was surprising, I found. I mean, a lot of people have given me comments about things that they read, but for the most part, it's been very positive, Yeah, I haven't really heard anything too negative about it. The people that I've spoken to were happy with it, because I try to keep it respectful. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, it's funny, and there's, the picture of Hunter as David on the front and things like that. But I've always gone out of my way that when I write about the industry, to always keep a level of respect there and to respect the positive things that people do. I think if you read in the book, you'll see that I give Vince McMahon praise a lot. I mean, there's a quote in there from Aaron Aguilera, who loves the McMahon family, and he's in the book. Talking about what a great boss he was and how he leads by example. And even Triple H, I talk about, he's a great performer. He's earned his spot. It's just once he did get the spot, I think he kind of held it a little too tight and went a little nuts with it. But, when people deserve praise, we have to give them praise. And I think a lot of times when we comment on wrestling, people tend to get so serious about it and they get so mad that they say things that are just negativity for the sake of negativity, and I don't do that. So I kind of feel like karma comes back in a good way sometimes.
Do you not find, too, that possibly in this day and age, with the things we've been talking about, that we aren't real crazy about, that when you bring them up, that particular subject, that it's not that they're really mad at you. They're embarrassed that they're doing it, but they have to take it out on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I also think that, I mean, I feel like people know what the problems are. That's always been the thing in wrestling. I think that to be the McMahon family and not see what your company's issues are is I mean, insane. But, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily true. I mean, he didn't become as successful as he is by just being clueless.
No.
I think at this point, like you said before, too, I think a lot of the knowledge that they are the number one promotion by a mile, they don't have too much to worry about as far as being knocked off the pedestal. Wrestling is never going to go anywhere. It's a part of American, you know, fabric of our society. So WWE isn't going to go out of business, and I think they're content with that. And I think that just because I bring up the issues doesn't necessarily upset them. But, you know, if you only criticize things that deserve critiques, I think people tend to be a little more open to criticism.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think, again, if there was somebody that was pushing them, somebody that was truly challenging them and doing some serious in-ring performance, I mean, they've got the guns to go in-ring. I mean, the Benoits, the Michaels, the Helmsleys, et cetera, to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason at this point.
Nothing. And it's sad, too, because I think a lot of the book does deal with that, too, the fact that, in a way, it almost feels like the McMahons look at putting on good television and good creative storylines at a time when there's no competition. They almost see it as a waste. It doesn't mean anything to them unless they can knock somebody down as they rise up at the same time.
Well, sure. You know, and truly, when you're the only game in town, you can be as good or as bad as you want to be, and there's nothing to come. And truthfully, when I say that, a lot of people say, well, go back to TNA, but I don't really honestly see TNA as competition at this point in time.
No. I mean, TNA, it's like, it's very raw as far as what they have and the product that they do have and what they're capable of. But at this point, whenever I tell people, it's the same story. That WWE is the only show in town. It's the number one promotion, and you either work there or you have one other option, or you can go to another country. It's a pretty sad situation for wrestlers today.
And I heard something today, and you may have heard this already, and maybe I'm late, but I haven't read it anyplace, is that I was talking to somebody about the Hermie Sadler promotion, you know, mm-hmm. and how that was an outlet for the TNA guys to make an extra payday. And I was curious to what, you know, how he was doing, and I heard that he's shutting down the end of the year because he's just, you know, running out of money.
Yeah. See, I mean, I hadn't heard that, but, I mean, it's at this point, I mean, the business is, it's really just not, it's not going to generate the kind of money it is, and I think everyone looks to Vince McMahon for that reason. I mean, and it's funny, like us as, you know, as somebody who wrote a book and runs a website, I want WWE to be the best product possible because that brings in more fans who then in turn, you know, would go to my website, just like these promotions want the WWE successful because that's really our face at that point. That's our PR to the outside world is World Wrestling Entertainment, and as long as they're putting on shows that people are embarrassed to say they even watch, it's not going to bring in new people to support smaller promotions and to support, you know, websites and books and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know if Dr. Tom mentioned to you about our trip to Denver, but he had never been out there for Fusion before, and it was my third trip, and he was impressed. But those guys, and they look at their small independent company as an alternative. I mean, they obviously, you know, don't draw the kind of numbers that Vince draws when he goes to the Pepsi Center in Denver, but they realize that the people that are coming to their show aren't coming to see a bad impersonation of the Boogeyman or, you know, or more bad comedy. They can see that on their TV at home. They're actually looking for an alternative. And Jeff and Billy are trying to give them, you know, more serious in-ring product.
Well, I think a lot of the independent promotions nowadays, the more I hear about some of the smaller companies out there, I mean, the happier I am getting because I think that a lot of them are starting to understand that. And it's funny because for years, it kind of feels like a lot of the indies were trying to do what WWE was doing in order to bring in fans and be successful. And now they're starting to do not what WWE is doing to be successful. And if I was Vince McMahon, I mean, it would send a message to me when people are going out of their way to be different than me in order to make money.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that.
James,
Doc, are you still here? Okay.
Yes, I am still here. We have to get going. We're running out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show. Check out the book, guys. It's World Wrestling Insanity. All about WWE, Vince McMahon and his big old playground. And, of course, JG's Radio Free Insanity. You're still doing that, right?
Yeah, you can check it all out. We have actually two sites. I mean, it's worldwrestlinginsanity.com. I mean, everything's up on there. And as we said before, Dr. Tom Pritchard does an audio, and we have all audio guests every week over at clubwwi.com. So keep them busy.
Excellent. Well, James.
Listen, come back and be with us again. I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on. It was great.
Hey, no problem.
Great, James. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, Les, I know that I was a little quiet during that interview, but I am getting word that that our server that hosts our website is down.
So you were talking to one another?
I'm sorry?
Are we talking to each other? Is that
no, there are if you are in the chat room right now and you leave the chat room, you probably won't be able to get back in. If you're listening to the stream right now, and there are people listening, but if you leave the stream, you probably won't be able to come back.
Okay.
So if you are if one of the fortunate people who were able...
Our top technical people, are they drunk or on vacation or what exactly?
It really has nothing to do with the webmasters or anything like that. It's the server that...
Okay.
It's the hosting company
that
went down. Now, what I believe is this happened a couple of minutes before we went on the air.
Uh-huh.
So what I think is that the onslaught of people trying to listen to Wrestling Weekly tonight crashed the server.
Okay.
That's
the millions and millions of people.
That's my story.
All right.
And that will be the official reason that's going down. So if you are listening to the replay right now and you couldn't get in the chat room when this show was live, this is the reason why. The server did crash a couple minutes before we were supposed to go on the air. So hopefully, we'll get it straightened out before the show's over. And if not, I want to thank you for listening to the replay.
Thank you.
We will, we don't need to take a break. Let's go over, of course, the pay-per-view prediction game that we played last week.
Okay, which you're so quick to do that, I would guess that I lost and you won. But we'll see.
I actually don't know.
Okay.
So we'll have to see. Okay, first off, it was Kane versus Umaga was the first one that we talked about.
And we neither won there because that was a no contest or they fought out of the ring and there was no decision or whatever, right?
Exactly. So that was no points for each of us. Carlito versus Randy Orton. You had went with Randy Orton. I went with the upset and went with Carlito. And Les, you got the point for that.
Oh, goody.
I also have, before we move on, I have an idea that if we call like a disqualification or a double count out or something like that, I think we should get 2 points from that one.
Okay.
Because it's harder to call something like that,
and
we're starting to see more of it.
Sometimes when I just think someone's going to get their hand raised, I'm not necessarily thinking in regard to how.
Right.
Because, again, having been there, done that, I realize there's so many paths to take that to try to lock that in is just... But if you can lock it in, Doc, man, my hat's off to you. Go for it.
Yeah, and I think it would be worth 2 points.
Well, of course.
Maybe even three. Who knows? But anyway.
Well, since you're the scorekeeper, it'll be worth whatever you decide to mark
that. Next off, it was the Spirit Squad versus the Highlanders. Me, you and I, Les, we said hands down this was the one that we could have predicted in our sleep by calling the Highlanders the winners and the new tag team champions.
And, of course, we must have been asleep when we predicted it because that didn't work. Right?
Exactly. The Spirit Squad ended up keeping the belts, which was very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Lita versus Trish. This one you had called a DQ or some sort of win for Trish without her getting the title. I did go on a limb, and I said Trish will win the title, and they will retire it.
So you get the point.
So I get a point.
Okay.
And I called that last week, everybody. Yes. But anyway, Nitro versus Jeff Hardy.
Right.
Nitro versus Jeff Hardy. We had both went with Nitro on that one, and we got a point for each.
Okay.
Because Nitro was victorious.
God, we're good, huh?
Yes, we are.
All right.
DX versus McMahon and The Big Show in the steel cage, and, it wasn't worth calling. We knew what was going to happen. A point for each of us.
Okay.
Edge versus Cena. Now, a lot of people were thinking Edge was going to keep this one, but Les and Doc, of course, we knew the difference. And we both called Cena would be the new champion. And a lot of people were giving me a lot of flack for that all week. They're like, how can you say Cena was going to win? How can you say he's going to win? He's not going to win it. It's in Edge's hometown and all this. And I said, that's exactly why he's going to lose. And also, Cena's got a movie coming out. And it would be a lot better if he was the champion when it did.
You know what? There's a whole other perspective to our business that you didn't have to deal with years ago either.
Exactly. So it's
coming out with the newest doll or the newest movie or the newest CD.
Yeah, it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that calls it. And Cena was crowned the new WWE champion. So that puts us at a tie, Les. Two times in a row we tied.
There you have it. It's like kissing your sister, right?
Yeah. But now we can play again because, of course, TNA's No Surrender pay-per-view is coming up this Sunday.
Okay.
So, you know, let's just move right into that and play the pay-per-view prediction game. You can play along if you're listening and see if you can best myself or less at this game.
Which shouldn't be real hard, but...
Which isn't hard. Well, we got four. Let's see. We each got four out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. So,
okay.
It's better than 50%.
All right.
Even though one of them, you know, was a DQ.
Right.
Which shouldn't even count, so that'd be 4 out of 6. Okay, Jeff Jarrett versus Samoa Joe, of course, is going to be the main event.
And this is the one with the fans, the belts?
This is the fans' revenge match.
And the title's not on the line?
No title on the line.
All right, I'll go with Joe.
I am,
You're
Okay, I'll go with you on that one.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to go with Joe, too, on this.
On the next one, you pick first. I won't be picking for both of us. Go, Doc.
The big indication, I think, in this match is because it is a non-title.
Well, the title, you know, and they have this mythical, no-defeats thing that Joe's got going, which they don't seem to think that if he's in a six-way, that if he doesn't win, that's a defeat. Or whatever, but anyway,
right.
We won't get into that. But the point is, in this situation, they're still plugging that, so I would guess, with it not being a title, that Joe slips over some way or another.
Right. Next up is the first ever Ultimate X match for the NWA World Tag Team titles. It's LAX versus AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. LAX, the champions right now.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
And I am going to go ahead and go with... I'm going to go with LAX on this one.
I am, too.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, I'm trying to use logic and common sense here, and I just don't... I think switching the belts back and forth with too much frequency just is, you know, depletes the value.
Exactly,
and,
yes.
And these guys are just getting ahead of steam, so my guesstimate would be that they continue to do so.
That is a good call. X Division title match. Senshi is the X Division champion, and Chris Sabin is going to be going for that title.
I think low-key retains.
I am also going to go with you on that one. Sabin, good talent, too, though.
Yeah, well,
it should be a good match.
It's not a case of whether he's any good or not. I think... Again, you know, Senshi or Loki, damn it.
Loki.
Hangs onto the strap.
Yeah. I made that preface because I'm saying this should be a good match between these two guys because they're both excellent wrestlers. The War Machine, Rhino versus Christian Cage. Oh, wow. This is going to be a tough
one. Is there any
one?
Stipulations or is this just a match?
This is just a match.
Christian.
You're going to go with Christian?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Rhino on this one.
Okay.
Should I go with Rhino? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with Rhino. I'm going to go against Christian on this one. Okay, Triple Chance Tag Team Battle Royal. These are the hard ones.
Oh, thank God. There's a multi-team match. I was almost frightened that there wouldn't be one.
Oh, get ready for this. America's Most Wanted, The James Gang, The Naturals, The Paparazzi, Diamonds in the Rough, Bentley and Kazarian, The Truth and Lance Hoyt, and Shark Boy and Norman Smiley.
They're all in the same at the same time.
All at the same time.
I'd be facetious to say Shark Boy and Norman Smiley, but I won't.
Yeah.
And what is this about? What does the winner gets a motor-lined commode or something? What I mean.
I don't think it really has a purpose, to tell you the truth.
There is nothing to it. It's just a match, right?
Then
I say pick 'em. I don't even know that it actually even matters. Well, now, let me ask you a question.
Let's make this for 2 points.
Douglas say that the Naturals had to win this to move on or something to get their title shot?
I think he said if they don't win that he's leaving him or something.
Oh, I thought, well, didn't they earn a title shot and he's not going to let him have it? unless they prove themselves, which if you stop and think about the logic of that, there's no logic to it.
No.
Okay, you've climbed the mountain. Now, unless you prove to me you can climb the mountain, you're not going to you're not going to get recognized for climbing the mountain. That doesn't make any sense at all to me. But anyway.
But definitely, it seems like this is the natural match to me.
Yeah, well, I say it just simply because that is the only thing that I'm sure of that comes out of this whole thing that I remember anyway. You know, that was something that was it's not a stipulation in the match, with the exception of the fact that this is what Shane had said to them.
Right, and I think it basically comes down to the point of, are the Naturals going to do it or are they not? Are they going to win it or aren't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More than who's going to win.
Unless they're planning, and I think if they take Douglas away from him at this point, it's just been a waste of time up to this point. But that doesn't mean they're not going to do that either. You know?
That's definitely true.
That could be that they lose, he gets in their face, they turn on him and beat the hell out of him. I don't know. But, I mean, again, there's a lot of scenarios, and you've got 17,000 teams, 8 million participants, and a cast of thousands. All that sort of stuff. I'll take the Naturals for lack of knowing what to take otherwise.
I'm also going to do this. I'm checking this out right now on TNAWrestling.com, trying to get the whole story on this. So Shane Douglas and the Naturals collaborated on a promise to keep, and this occurred in addition of Impact on June 15th when he became their new manager. Shane Douglas stated, "If I say something, you do it." Blah blah blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
On September 24th, at the No Surrender pay-per-view, the Naturals had their biggest test yet when they entered the Triple Chance Battle Royal against all those people. Despite the Naturals getting their share of wins in recent weeks, Douglas hasn't been happy with their effort. They have been nothing memorable in his view. In my opinion, what Naturals don't truly understand is that Douglas just doesn't want them to win. He wants them to be the best tag team. So 2 weeks ago on Impact, the Naturals test at No Surrender grew larger when Shane Douglas said, "A hard ride to the top of the mountain is no cakewalk, because being champion isn't an easy task. And when the Naturals get to the top of the mountain, if they can beat 7 other teams, my newly franchised Naturals will either walk out of No Surrender victorious, or by God, I'm willing to end this experiment on the spot."
Uh-huh.
And the Naturals, of course, weren't very happy with that. So,
well, I'd say, you know, that it's kind of something features, something centers around them. Either they get the win and get the title shot,
or they
lose. Shane denounces them as bad human beings. They turn on him and beat the hell out of him or something.
Right.
Could go either way. But I think whatever the focus still doesn't have to come to them, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with you and say, you know, for the Naturals to lose and lose Shane Douglas at this point is really, it would be a waste of time. It would be a waste of the entire storyline.
It wouldn't be the first storyline they've started that had no end or no rhyme or reason to it.
True.
I give you Jackie Gala. Among others.
What's her name? The big woman with AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels?
Yeah.
She was gone pretty quick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it happens. But I'm going to go ahead and say that TNA is going to do the right thing and the Naturals are going to go ahead and win.
Okay.
All right, that wraps that up.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
Not too many. Well, of course, you have to watch TNA on Thursday night at 11 o'clock Eastern.
And of course, there's the big announcement coming up on Sunday at the pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
Well.
And there will be more matches made, of course, on TNA Thursday. Check it out, guys. No Surrender live on pay-per-view September 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Something that's supposed to rock the industry is going to happen. So check it out, guys. I'm going to go ahead and go over the last week's ratings real quick.
Okay.
And then we've got Scott Norton coming up on the program.
Okay.
The September 11th edition of Monday Night Raw, that was last Monday, not yesterday's, drew a final 3.6 with a 5.5. That's not too good, and that's not what they were hoping for leading into the pay-per-view. It's the same rating that the show scored on Labor Day. Which is always usually down due to, you know, of course, the holiday.
Yeah.
But WWE is facing some strong competition, of course, from Monday Night Football games now airing on ESPN. The first game between the Vikings and the Redskins scored a 9.9 cable rating. While the second game, the Chargers and the Raiders scored an 8.5. So, you know, if this is a pattern, WWE could be in for some trouble during this entire football season.
Well, you know, football, I might tell you something. Back in the day, when Monday Night Football first began, well, not the first season, obviously, but the second season, a lot of promoters quit running on Monday nights during football season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the ratings were that, you know, it was that strong that it hurt the houses.
That's tough, tough competition, Monday Night Football.
Then once it became kind of just it was they're going to be there every Monday for the rest of your life, you know, they a lot of them went back to running. But those first few years, a lot of promotions took Monday nights off.
Nah, I don't blame them either. That's Monday Night Football is sort of a tradition, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's real hard to run against something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, well, like last night, no one would have thought Jacksonville was going to win the game, never mind shut Pittsburgh out.
Yeah.
And they did, 9-0.
That's something, you know, football is something completely different. You just, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
That's
so a lot
true.
Of people, that's the...
anything can happen. And in the WWE, anything can happen.
That's true, too, but anything can happen if they say it does. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
But Monday Night Football, I mean, guy could, you know, he could be in the huddle and vomit everywhere. You don't know what's going to happen.
In the huddle and what?
And just start vomiting everywhere. You never know. Something
okay.
weird could happen. And people watch, and that's part of the appeal, not the
you know,
vomit.
I've never watched football for that reason, but I may start. I don't know.
But it has happened before on Monday
well,
Night Football.
I'm not saying that no one has thrown up in the huddle, but I've never known any. You wouldn't see it. I know the cameras get a lot of places. I've never seen them in the huddle.
It's sort of the unpredictability of live sports
well,
events.
And that brings up a point. Would that not be of value then in the industry which we represent on this show?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you couldn't call, I mean, you know, like we were talking to James that last night there were a chair shot, you know, was the reason for two matches and four girls ran in six in seven different matches on a pay-per-view, which becomes, it's like, okay, you know, who cares?
If you come in with the mentality that on any given night one wrestler can beat another wrestler, except for maybe the championships.
Well, you know, that's what makes footballs, you know. I'm you're a Colts fan, and I guess you're a Colts fan. I'm a Bengals and Redskins fan.
Actually, don't laugh, but I'm a 49ers fan.
Okay, well, you know, before there was a Cincinnati Bengals, there was the Redskins, and when Vince Lombardi went to the Redskins as head coach, I became a Redskins fan. But anyway, so I really pull for both teams. But, you know, no one would have picked Jacksonville last night to win. And so it's, but, you know, the neat thing about the NFL is the parity. You know, you can't predict. Cincinnati, as good as they were 11-5 last year, but still Kansas City was picked by a lot of people to win the opener, and Cincinnati handily, you know, beat Kansas City.
Right.
Like I say, no, I don't think anybody would have said that Jacksonville wasn't going to give Pittsburgh a close game last night, but I think for the most part, everyone figured Pittsburgh to win.
Yeah, if wrestling could emulate the unpredictability of a real live sports event.
See, and there's another thing which years ago titles were only defended I won't say on rare occasions, but on, you know, like you only had to defend them once every 30 days.
Right.
And now somebody's putting a belt up there's nothing special about it.
Right.
You know?
It happens like every 2 weeks now.
You know, and every 2 weeks, every week. Or like last night, though, hey, there's a throwaway. All of a sudden, we've got six guys in the Intercontinental titles on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, cool. Wait a minute.
No build-up or nothing.
Well, exactly. And the people in the match didn't necessarily earn a title shot for any particular reason. So anyway, if you promote something as meaningless, then it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The thing that I think made the big UFC pay-per-view a few weeks back so strong was the fact that there were clashing personalities in Ortiz and Shamrock.
Oh, yeah.
And they built to that over a period of weeks on their reality show, and then they ran ran a beautiful package of leading into that, giving the backgrounds and personalities and training habits of both athletes, and just so they made it special.
And one commercial for the fight almost lasted longer than the entire fight itself.
Yeah.
So
well, that's the bad thing about something being real opposed to being.
Right.
it is to a certain degree, right? I mean,
right, but the buildup was done.
You think I wouldn't have been screaming holy hell if I'd have paid $350 for a seat to watch a minute and a half of that? I mean, sure. But, I mean...
That's the good part about wrestling.
You're right. That's the one thing that professional wrestling is going to give you 2.5 to 3 hours, regardless.
Yeah.
Or for the most, you know, I mean, that's pretty much the norm. But anyway, we're talking about the NFL season again, is because you can't be sure. You know, there's not that dominant team any longer because of the way they've handled the scheduling and the salary caps and this and that. They have created parity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the neat thing, too.
And that's what you need, more competition?
Sure. I think, and that's, to me, what professional wrestling was and should be once again is it's not about you kissed my girlfriend or stole my car or pulled the bumper off my car or poured Gaga over my head. It should be that you know we're battling for the number one slot or for your title or my title or you know people understand Super Bowls and the NBA championships and the World Series and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I can understand if they did that every once in a while because UFC did have. UFC did have a match.
There's special occasions for everything.
They had a match a few years ago where one guy was mad at the other guy for peeing on his bed. Do you remember this?
Yes, and that was in the very first episode, and that's why I stopped watching that one right there because they were trying too hard to.
But there was a build-up to this match.
No. To me, that was overkill. I'd start to say oversaturation, but you'd think I was being glib, and I wouldn't be.
You think that was a stunt?
Stupid. I think it was stupid.
You think it was planned?
Well, I'll tell you the other thing about reality shows, Tough Enough being one, and some of the others, is the Road Rules, and what's the other one on MTV?
Real World.
Yeah, Real World. Is that somebody has to get drunk, there has to be a break, a love triangle or a break. I mean... especially when it comes to the UFC or the Tough Enough or something that's actually taking you inside a business or a sport. You know, I don't know that it's necessary to see those people get drunk.
But it is interesting.
Huh?
It is interesting.
No, I'm not saying but if it's on every show it becomes complacent.
You're right.
I mean it's just again, the first time that Terry Funk put Ric Flair through a table. How many years ago was that, and how it shocked the whole wrestling world?
Yeah.
Do I really give a damn about seeing anybody go through a table again?
No.
How many millions of thousands, hundreds of thousands of tables have been broken? It's just, it's become, okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, overkill.
Sure, exactly.
Moving on with the ratings, ECW last Tuesday drew a final 1.9. That's down from the previous week's 2.1, and there's really no other reason that number should have been low. Other than it was a tape show from Madison Square Garden.
Well, tape, live, I'm not sure, you know, that I buy into that, except you read it somewhere, I know, because I read it too. When I say that, how many years was Raw, doing one live and one taped, and it was drawing good numbers?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, you know, I think part of it is interest. Although I still say that the ECW show is the best paced show, whether it's 2 hours, 1 hour, 6 hours, or no hours, it's the best paced show in the industry right now because it has a pace where things make sense. They move, they advance storylines, they introduce characters, and they do it at a pace that you can digest what just went on in the last segment or the last match or the last vignette or whatever the last thing was. Before you move on to the next one.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's to catch, and I think that's why they've caught people's interest.
Yeah. But in Monday Night Raw's case, they're so high because it's a brand name, and it's like it's like buying Kleenex instead of...
Well, I still say that the thing that keeps Raw hot now is not necessarily the storylines, the angles, the sophomoric comedy, the childish TNA, or a million other things.
It's audience. It's become. Let's make a deal of wrestling.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of it. You know, so I might. So I can get on my cell phone behind JR and wave at my girlfriend and hold up a goofy sign
mm-hmm.
and get into all the chants. I think the whole Cena thing is people have read enough, seen enough, heard enough. They're doing it now just to be doing it.
Yes.
I don't know that it has a lot of meaning anymore.
I don't think so. I Monday Night Raw is pretty much par for the course when it comes to chants and reactions.
Well, you know what? A wrestler that has worked with Ring of Honor, and I haven't been to a Ring of Honor show in a while, which is not to say that it's changed dramatically over that period of time, but he said that a lot of the Ring of Honor fans has become, he said, I'm really, you know, I mean, I like working with the guys there. There's good talent there. But he said it's the fan thing has become so, God, you know, it's just like, he said they just chant to be chanting.
Yeah, they call them ROH bots.
Yeah.
Is the term on the internet and in the business, and it's not a nice term. It's not meant to be nice, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, it's so you know, it's hard. I would think as a young talent or as a promoter in that's drawing a decent, it's hard. You're hard pressed to really judge what it is that, you know, are these people just showing up because you happen to have the. Your nightclub happens to be the hot nightclub this year,
mm-hmm.
you know, or your band happens to be the hot band, or mm-hmm. that your game show, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or that your chant's cooler than the other guy's chant.
Yeah, or is it really?
Because so much of it has nothing to do with the talent.
Right.
You know?
So there needs to be a little more honesty out there.
Well, I don't know if it's honest or not. I mean, because it comes down to, again, if they went back to storylines, if they went back to the, as we were saying when James was on, if they took the high road, which is not the easy way out, but honestly got into the psychology and they controlled the fans instead of the fans controlling them, you might find a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Moving on, Thursday's Impact drew another 0.7 cable rating, as we spoke about earlier. On Friday, PWInsider.com reports that the September 15th edition of Friday Night SmackDown drew a final 1.0 broadcast rating, the lowest ever, of course. But the show was only seen in about half the country.
Well, you know, I found out today while you're on SmackDown is that Time Warner, which is the largest cable provider in our area,
mm-hmm.
finally came to an agreement yesterday.
Good.
With the CW. But it won't be on Time Warner until the 18th of October. For whatever reason, I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
And what they're doing, and sadly enough, is Time Warner then is knocking the channel that was the UPN station off the air.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be on Time Warner, at least not for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, SmackDown is debuting on the new CW network this Friday, guys, so we'll be getting a chance and a better idea of what the ratings are really like. But as for last Friday, 1.0. And I've also heard that WGN is not carrying. If you get the CW network on WGN and you don't live in the Chicago area, they will not be airing Friday Night SmackDown.
Is that right?
That's correct.
But will they be airing other CW shows?
Yes.
Okay.
But they will not be airing Friday Night SmackDown. And in the Chicago area, if there's a ball game on, they're not going to air it anyway, even in the Chicago area. So that's not good news for anybody who gets CW on WGN.
Well, see, then I won't see SmackDown then until in October sometime.
Yeah.
Here.
Last night's Monday Night Raw drew a final 3.7 cable rating. That's up from last week's 3.6, but still kind of not in the range. In comparison, ESPN's Monday Night Football game between the Steelers and the Jaguars did a 10.6 rating. That's an all-time ratings record for ESPN last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but then I've seen Monday Night Football pull a 13 or a 14.
Yes, on ABC.
Yeah.
Yes, but
of course, there's not a big rivalry between the Jaguars and the Steelers either, so that's in part.
Yeah. This is cable, so it's going to be a little bit less.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we have our featured guest, Scott Norton. He's going to be on the program. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That's a stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here on Wrestling Weekly. Right now, our featured guest is on the line from WCW. You know him as one of the former NWO members. And lately, in the last few years, has been tearing up Japan. Scott Norton's on the program. Scott, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
You know, the first thing I want to back up even past WCW, Scott, and because I know you're an arm wrestling champion. And one thing, and I was reading some of your background, is that you have won tournaments with both arms?
Yeah, I won the world tournament. Actually, the first world tournament I won was left-handed, but then the year after that I won the right-handed arm wrestling world championship.
What are you naturally, a lefty?
No, I'm a righty.
Okay. And now, you won with both hands.
I've done arm wrestling and don't know that much, but that is unusual, is it not?
Yeah, you know, well, everybody says it's technique and it's arm wrestling is, you know, art and everything. Well, I've never been beat by a guy that wasn't stronger than me at the time.
Right.
And at that time, I was definitely stronger than just about any
well, for sure, any arm wrestler out there. And so, you know, I just rolled the dice and took the payoff and
Now, this was like in the mid, early and mid 80s.
Yeah. I started arm wrestling right out of high school. And then, you know, I did that till 86. And then, you know, with the movie Over the Top. And I was touring with the movie Over the Top. I went all over the, you know, Europe and Japan. And when I was in Japan, I was approached by New Japan, and they, you know, offered me, a training contract, basically. And so I did that. I went back, and I went to Brad Reagan's camp, and then the ball started rolling. Now I'm on your show.
And then the show came.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Scott Norton's career takes a turn for the rise when he appears on Wrestling Weekly.
You were, when you first won the it was the IWGP title, you were only the third American to hold that championship, right?
Yes, yeah. Hulk Hogan, of course, won the first right. Was the first American win. And then Big Van Vader, and then I came after them.
Tell Les what Japanese fans call American wrestlers.
What do they call them?
Yeah, what's the name that they would call the foreigner wrestlers?
Gaijin?
Yeah, there you go, Les.
That wasn't what you said, Doc.
I said Gaijin.
Okay.
You know, yeah, well, yeah, it's always the Gaijin bus, the Gaijin here. Guy Gene locker room, this is guy, you know, and it just drives you crazy, you know. I mean, I just kind of feel like, you know, the last thing I feel like is a Guy Gene. I mean,
right.
Sounds like a model or whatever, I don't know. But
I wanted to clear something up, because I do have a question. You said, we talked about this a couple minutes ago, that you'd won some arm wrestling tournaments with both your hands. Now, was everyone else using their weak hand in these tournaments?
No. You see, it's... Basically, it's a right-handed tournament. The reason I went in a left-hand tournament, I suffered an injury to my right arm.
Ah.
And in training, so there was a left-handed tournament, and so I decided to go in, and I ended up winning it. So
wow.
It was,
Have you ever really broken somebody's arm, like in the movie Over the Top?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
I've seen some clips of... other arm wrestling tournaments where that kind of thing happens. I don't know. That must make you feel bad.
Well, the time I did it, we were strapped in. And when I hooked inside and I pushed his shoulder, his hand behind his shoulder, basically, he turned in. And when I was turned in myself, and it was terrible because when it broke, he went down to a knee, and it was actually like his arm was folded right over the table. And I had the strap on. So I'm trying to lean over the table to help the guy. The guy's about 350 himself, and it was just, it wasn't a good experience. But, you know, that happens. I mean, that's something that you wish you were never a part of. But, you know, there's a lot of injuries in wrestling, and it's just part of the deal. And, that was bad. I remember the one you're talking about with Over the Top, that was a live shot, and I was about 10 feet away from that when that happened, and I wish I wasn't there for that either. I've seen, you know, when you see a guy laying on the football field and he ain't moving, and it's the same feeling because it just...
Yeah, you get that sick feeling in your stomach. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Because you were in the thick of things during the Monday Night Wars part of the NWO and in WCW. Was that a fun time for you?
That was the best time in wrestling. I mean, the NWO, I mean, it was like... every Monday night, it didn't matter where we went, it was sold out. The people were just hot. It was so popular, and we were just, we're the biggest heels on the planet Earth, you know. I mean, we were trying to make everybody just as nice as you could possibly make them, but they just loved us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just, you know, I was with, you know, the biggest stars in the business, and, you know, it was just a great time to be in wrestling. It was a great time to be involved, and, Eric took care of the WCW, took care of us first class. I mean, it was really, really exceptional. And, we took it to Japan, too. And, I mean, it was huge over there. I mean, when the NWO went to New Japan, I come walking out of the Kiyo Plaza, the hotel we stayed. It was a beautiful hotel. It was just great combinations of it. I come walking out, and here's the bus painted black with NWO inside of it. I just said, what?
Sweet.
I mean, I knew it was big, but, I mean... it went just completely wild over there also. So, I mean, it was the biggest time, the best times. It was just, it was really, really great to be a part of it.
Yeah, the Japanese fans are so supportive of the industry. I mean, it's just, it's like Major League Baseball or the NFL is here, right?
Sure. I mean, Saturday night I wrestled a match, and I'm leaving the arena, and a young kid comes up to me. He's got a tattoo of Tenzan, Nagata, Chono, and Liger on a group and on his shoulder. And I just went, my goodness.
Wow.
I've seen guys with college tattoos, and I've seen, USC or whatever like that, but I've never, and this kid was an American kid, a white kid, I mean, it wasn't like he was a Japanese kid living here. It was surprising to see that,
That's dedication.
They are the greatest fans, and it's just a great place to work. It's hard, it's hard to, 20 hours to get to work is, it's very difficult. Travel is as hard as anything, but, I've done over 100 tours over there, and it was just a great, great place to wrestle.
Yeah, that's super.
NWO was a really great industry-changing group, but a lot of people think that one problem with the NWO is that they never ended up getting their comeuppance. Nobody could ever defeat them. And a lot of people think that's one of the problems, and that's why NWO kind of started going downhill. Do you agree with that?
In a way, I do. But if you think about it, there's a lot of that in the, like you said, the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the NWO, when I think what hurt the NWO, and I can't say it hurt it, is when they split it up. And they went to Black.
Wolfpack.
Example, the Four Horsemen went on forever. I mean, they can still do it today.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no reason why the NWO shouldn't be doing something right now. I mean, it was just at that level. It was fever pitch all the time. I mean, it just didn't matter. The combinations that you could put out there at any time, any place, it was outstanding. And I don't know if it was too many top talent together, and I just don't know what it was, why they dispersed it, but, it was too bad that had to happen.
Yeah.
Do you think part of it, Scott, might have been that there just became too many guys? I mean, it wasn't a elite society. You mentioned the Four Horsemen, which maintained four or five guys all the time, but, I mean, probably had 20 guys over the course of the whole thing, but never at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with that. That could have been a big part of it, because you got 20 different, the NWO was so strong that you really didn't want to, damage it in any way because, one, I mean, it was a huge, huge moneymaker for the WCW, for New Japan, for the whole industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, that could be true. I mean, it was just, no matter what it was, it just, to us, we just couldn't believe that it happened. I mean, it was just, it was a total, just to be a part of it, we never saw it coming, basically, we just really didn't think that it could have, went that way, but it did, and, you got to move on, but, it was the best times, it really, really was.
Who better in the chat room? He says, how did you like the Fire and Ice tag team with Ice Train? And how did you like your feud with Ernest Miller?
I'll answer the second question first.
Okay.
The Ernest Miller deal was great. That was probably, I've received more comments, more people talk to me, bring that up to me. I mean, everywhere I go. And that was, Ernest Miller was just a perfect fit for me. With all the deals, he'd get in the ring, start talking about, and next thing I'd be here and I'm coming out of the locker room just, 100 miles an hour, we're going for it, And the people, the response I got was just outstanding. Tagging with Ice Train was a struggle. It was just, I just don't feel that we complimented each other as good as we could have. Because we're both just real big, strong men, and very powerful. But my style of wrestling compared to his, I mean, in my opinion, 6'3", 350-pound guy shouldn't be disco dancing in the ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm more serious out there. I'm ready to come out there and bust some ass, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it was kind of like, you know, I mean, he was more of a, you know, a showboat than I was more of a serious, you know, 100% let's go get it. And that's just the way, you know, I mean, well, you know, Vicious and Delicious, me and Bagwell, I mixed with him 10 times better. And, you know, Bagwell did the same thing, but, you know, Bagwell was 240 pounds. I mean, it was just a different kind of a
style. It was a better blend because there were two styles.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, we were too much the same, but, you know, here I got my partner over there doing Disco Inferno or whatever the hell he's doing. I'm not taking anything away from Train, you know. He's a hell of a talent. You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, just...
We were talking before we went on the air. You're got a new pursuit out in Arizona now.
Yeah, I'm working for a company called WAE Wrestling, and we got a promotion going on out there. We just opened up a new arena. Saturday night was grand opening. We sold it out, close to 500 seats, and had a hell of a card, and the turnout was just awesome. The people, the response was great, and we're really trying to go for it. We got some top talent. I mean, the card is stacked from top to bottom. I mean, we got Ryan Skoda, the Hawaiian Lion, the Navajo Warrior, the Ballard Brothers, Hardcore Kid, Romy Roselli, Joey Ryan, and Black Tiger just tore the house down. I tell you what, I've been around this business a long time, and to be entertained like that, I just sat there and said, this, you know, because I'm basically booking the shows and take care of all the wrestling. When I see something like that, I said, man, this is just.
So you're it's not all local talent, because I some of the names I know are from the West Coast.
Oh yeah, we're going from, right, you know, Romeo's coming in from New York. We got, you know, Ryan Skoda's. You know,
the Ballard Brothers are from the coast, right?
Plus, we got Heidenreich, we got A Train going, we got Horseshoe going, myself.
Is there a website where people can get more information about your promotion?
WAE.com, WAEWrestling.com. And, it's going to be exciting. We're not just trying to be another independent group, we're going to try to be the group on the West Coast. And there's no reason it can't work. With the lineup I got and with the names I have interested in working for me, there is no reason we cannot take this a long, long ways. And the Phoenix area, the people are just, they're starving for it.
Mm-hmm.
The response, the crowd, everything was just such a positive thing. And we got some major players involved in as far as sponsors and backing, and we are ready to go. I mean, we got LA TV, and you know, they go Phoenix, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin, and we're real close. They're very interested in putting us on TV, and as soon as we get that contract wrapped up, it'll be heaven, because this is a good group of guys, and they understand what's asked them, and it's going to be good. And
super.
I'm very excited. As a matter of fact, I'm taking a year off from Japan just to concentrate just on this solo. So, it's going to be fun.
It sounds great, and I wish you the best of luck, Scott.
Well,
check it out, guys, WAEWrestling.com. Scott Norton's group. Scott, I want to thank you for being on the show. We're running out of time. It was sort of a quick interview, but hopefully we can have you back again soon. We can get into, in detail more about your career.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is great for me, too, because it just brings back a lot of great memories, and I really appreciate the time. And you guys, you had a great show, and you just keep doing what you do, and we're all of us are very supportive of you, and I really appreciate this, and thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Good having you, and good luck to you, man.
Okay, great. You guys take care now, and thank you so much.
You too, man.
Bye, Scott.
Bye.
Scott Norton here on WrestlingWeekly.com, guys. That's going to wrap things up. Next week, of course, we've got the King of Old School, Steve Carino, is going to be on the program. check out the website, WrestlingWeekly.com, to see who our next guest is going to be for next week. That's going to wrap things up, guys. Enjoy ECW. It's coming on next on, of course, Sci-Fi. So, last closing words?
Good night, and see you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, and across the nation, and it's a sin. The guns, the face, the fraud, the measure with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah. I'll take the fall. The same.
Knock at the door!